Father, nobody's here by chance today. Lord, we've been led of the Holy Spirit here today. Even new people have come to check us out. Lord, they're here because you brought them this morning. And Lord, we just pray right now that, Lord, you'll prepare our hearts. We pray, Lord, that you give us ears to hear what the Spirit, Lord, has to say to us personally today. Lord, I speak freedom. I speak liberty, Lord, to come to my brothers and sisters, to all of us today, as we look at your word in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I got the scriptures today on the screens. It makes it a little bit easier. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 to 24 is where we're going to start. So is everybody ready? Do you want to nudge the person next to you and say, are you ready? Gently nudge, that is. Here we go. I'll read it. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After Jesus had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. I'll read that last sentence again. Later that night, Jesus was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. One of the greatest mistakes that we make in our culture is a tragic mistake of ignoring the realm of the spirit and the supernatural. Everybody listening to me? We're Westerners, and we Westerners look at some other cultures and we dismiss their sensitivity to the realm of the spirit as being just silly, naive superstitions. Instead, our culture has elevated reason and rationalism to be the supreme authority in matters of opinion, belief, and conduct. And faith in God and respect for the spiritual is trivialized and considered unreasonable. And even as born-again Christians, this is obviously just an introduction, everybody, as we lay a foundation, but even as born-again Christians, anybody born again today? I know that you are. I heard you worshiping. But you know, sometimes even as born-again Christians, we can unwittingly be influenced by this kind of false reasoning and rationalism, and some of us may even become embarrassed by the things that the Bible teaches because it seems fanciful at times. And consequently, we make the mistake of downplaying the significance of the supernatural in today's world and the significance of the supernatural even in our own lives. However, when we downplay the significance of the supernatural, and when we downplay the significance of the spirit realm, we play right into the hands of the devil. It's almost like handing the devil a gift to do whatever he wants to do without hindrance. And that's exactly what's happening in the life of the world today, and it's exactly what's happening in the life of many Christians today. Indeed, much of what is happening around the world today is being driven from the spirit realm that surrounds our world. Who do you think is driving ISIS and terrorism? Folks, it's more than just ideology. Who do you think is the driving force behind our ICE drug epidemic that we have here in Australia? The spirit realm is constantly impacting the physical world, and the spirit realm is impacting you in your world too. And there's always been this interplay between the physical and the spiritual. Everybody still with me so far? Prior to our opening verse that we just read a moment ago, Jesus had just finished feeding the 5,000 with the 5 loaves and how many fish? 2 fish. By the way, that might sound fanciful to somebody, but that really happened. That was supernatural. Jesus then dismissed the crowd and told his disciples to get into their boat and sail home across the Lake of Galilee or Sea of Galilee without him. And folks, whenever I talk about the Sea of Galilee, I can picture it right now because Rochelle and I visited it about 18 months ago and I can see how it all works, how the lake is. And I can imagine Jesus watching him. And night was approaching, and Jesus wanted time alone to pray, and that's good. So the disciples set off on their journey. However, it became really difficult and dangerous for the disciples to be on the water. They started off, everything was okay, and then things changed. It became tough out there on the lake. Their small boat became buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. And this is a picture of life. This is a picture of your life. That little boat is like our personal world. It encompasses our family. It encompasses our marriage, our faith, our jobs, our friends, our health. We have hopes. We have expectations of life and of people. But then the wind starts to blow. And the wind stirs up all of those waves, the troubles and the hassles of life. And I think all of you know what I'm talking about. But these waves then relentlessly just buffet us. And life becomes flipping difficult to live sometimes. The wind is the problem. Anybody feel like that guy? The wind is the problem. Can we say it together? The wind is the problem. In Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul talks about the wind. He says this, Ephesians 6 verse 12, he says, "We're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly supernatural places." Your version there you've got on your screen says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Can I just make this really clear? Where it says in the heavenly realms, that's not talking about heaven where God is. The Bible uses that to talk about the supernatural realm. Really important everybody understands that. It's interesting to note that the Greek word in the Bible for spirit is pneuma, which means breath or wind. That's what spirit means, wind. Our primary enemies, anybody here got any enemies today? Let me tell you, you have. Our primary enemies are not people. Shock, horror. You thought it was. No, it's not. Your primary enemies are not people. Some people may be mean to you, but they're not your primary enemy. They are just a wave that's been stirred up by the wind, the spirits of evil. The primary enemies that you face cannot be seen with your natural eyes because they are spirits, but they are nonetheless still powerful and real. And they want you to ignore them. They want you to downplay them so they can get on doing what they do. And they store up trouble to buffet you and your family with problems. And most importantly, they endeavor to tempt you and bring distractions into your life in order to turn you away from following God with all of your heart. And that's their ultimate aim. It's always their ultimate aim, is to make a gap between you and God. And we just got to wake up. We've got to wake up and open our eyes and see the wind that is driving the waves that buffet us. It's time to wake up and take these things very seriously. Indeed, sometimes we've got to stir ourselves up. We've got to get some holy, righteous anger about all the trouble and about all of the pain that the devil, not people, that the devil and his cohorts are raining down on us and upon our families and upon the people in our wonderful communities where we live. There has to come a time when we say, enough is enough. Devil, enough is enough. And it's time sometimes where we need to make a stand against the evil one. And now, brothers and sisters, now is the time to make that stand. Come on. Come on. Come on. The Bible says in James 4, verse 7 to 8, humble yourselves before God. There's some good advice. But resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come close to God and God will come close to you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Now is the time to be coming close to God, and now is the time to take a stand against the enemy. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Come on. So here, this raises a question, several questions. So what can you do to come close to God? What can you do to draw near to God? And what can you do to resist the devil? Now, you might want to take some notes this morning. I'm not a great note taker myself. Rochelle is a prolific note taker. But I do want to say this. This will be on the internet, on the church website. You can listen to that this week. And somebody was telling me how they got their smartphone and they plugged their thing in, you know, the earpiece into the smartphone. You can listen directly off your phone if you wanted to. Or you can order a CD and listen to it. But I want to talk about how we can resist the devil. And I just kind of think you might need to hear it again. So that's up to you. That's your business. But may God bless you. What can you do to deal with those buffeting winds? Number one, firstly, please get rid of the que sera sera theology. Doris Day. Who remembers Doris Day? Hey, here's a real question. Who's got no idea who Doris Day is? Doris Day, great voice. And she sang, que sera sera, whatever will be, will be. The future's not ours to see. One of the most destructive weapons or lies used against Christians by the devil is the lie, or heresy is a stronger word I'd rather use, that says, this is what's the lie. And some people think this, everything that is happening in my life must be the will of God. After all, God is sovereign. That part's true. He would stop the troubles if that were his will. So it must be his will. The fact that, there's abuse going on in my family, it must be God's will. The fact that I'm really suffering right now, that must be God's will. So que sera, sera. He's sovereign. He must be wanting to teach me something. So whatever will be, will be. With all due respect, newsflash, everybody. Not everything that's happening in your life comes from God. The enemy's coming against you. Come on. Come on. So let's just stop attributing the work of the enemy to God. That's just plain wrong. And it's just plain stupid. It's time to put up a righteous fight and bravely fight the fight of faith. Second thing we can do, let's just make it harder for the devil to buffet us. Let's not make it less difficult. Let's make it more difficult for him to buffet us. Let's make it more difficult for the devil by us resisting temptation. Let's keep a pure heart. Let's behave as real Christians and follow the Lord half-heartedly. Follow the Lord wholeheartedly. This makes the devil's job so much more difficult. Obedience to God keeps you in the will of God, and the will of God is the safest place to live your life. Get rid of the Kesar theology. Let's make it harder for the devil to come himself his words. Thirdly, understand that Almighty God has given you mighty weapons and mighty promises for you to use against the enemy. Come on. They are great weapons that you can use to kick the devil's butt really hard and take back what he's stolen from you. 2 Peter 1:3 says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Wow. Ephesians 1:3 says a similar thing. All praise to God the Father, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the supernatural realms. Ephesians 6 verse 13 says, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will resist the enemy in the time of evil and take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 3 says this, we are humans, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not the worldly weapons. Amen. God has given us everything we need to be victorious over the enemy in our lives. So get rid of the que sera sera theology. Make it hard for the devil. And remember, God has given us mighty weapons to resist the evil one. That's a good place to say amen. And fourthly, Remember that God's also given us a community of believers to belong to. Don't underestimate the church. Sometimes we get battle fatigue. That's when other believers stand with you, lifting you up in prayer, encouragement, and even practical help so you can get your strength back and continue your winnable battle in Jesus' name. Galatians 6 verse 2 says, share each other's burdens. And in this way, obey the law of Christ. And the law of Christ is love. Okay, everybody still with me? Okay, that was the introduction, everybody. It really was. And I'm just looking at the time. I'm going to try and do the next part in 10 minutes. Since God has given us mighty weapons, what we're going to do right now, we're going to do really quick, a quick spiritual weapons check. Make sure you've got your weapons. Most of you know about these weapons we're going to cover right now, so we're going to do it quickly. But come on, let's make sure our weapons are in place and so that we're ready to defeat those buffeting spirits. Are you with me, everybody? Yes. Weapon number one is this. Weapon number one is absolutely necessary. The first weapon is the blood of Jesus Christ. When the destroying angel flew over Egypt in the time of Moses, he killed the firstborn person in each family. It was devastating and sad. However, God told Moses to tell the Israelites living there to apply the blood of a slain lamb to the door frames of their homes. Then the destroying angel could not harm them. The slain lamb, back in the book of Exodus where this story happened, the slain lamb represented Jesus Christ. The Lamb of God. Jesus gave his life so we could be right with God and belong to him. Hebrews 10 verse 19 says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. Sometimes we sin. Anybody here sin sometimes? Just point to the person next to you. Amen. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we make unwise decisions. Of course we do. And the enemy then wants to take advantage of that. We're talking about spiritual warfare here. So never forget that the blood of Jesus was shed for you and that you are right with God because of the blood. If you're feeling ashamed, if you're feeling guilty, if you've messed up badly, remember the blood of Jesus that was shed for you. Even say to yourself that the blood of Jesus was shed for me. I'm still right with God. That old destroying angel has to pass you by because of the blood of Jesus. Remember the blood of Jesus. Second weapon, that was the first one. Second weapon is, and you know this, I've spoken about this so many times. The second weapon is the Word of God, the Bible. The Bible, come on, the Bible is a supernatural book with supernatural power. The Bible tells you the truth while the devil tells you lies. And it's the truth that sets you free. The Bible is a sword against the devil and evil spirits. When you speak the promises and truths of God over your life, you speak in the mighty authority, power, and promises of God, the Creator, over yourself. And this is a remarkable thing. The enemy has no power to match the power of the Word of God. So, we've got a mighty weapons. We got the blood of Jesus, amen? And we've got the Bible. How's your weapons checking going on so far? How's it going for you right now? Are you looking after your weapons? Are you wearing your weapons? You ready for battle? The third weapon is praise and worship. You step into the realm of the Spirit through praise and worship. We're going to do that in the encounter service tonight. You step into the realm of the Spirit through praise and worship. And when you praise God, when you worship God, you change your spiritual atmosphere from strife to peace, from despair to hope. Psalm 149, verse 6 and 8 says this, let the praises of God be in their hallelujah, and a sharp sword in the hands. That's talking about the Word of God. And then it says later, to bind their kings with shackles and their leaders with iron chains. I suggest very strongly that the kings and leaders in this passage is referring to evil spirits. I can make a theological case for that, but we don't have time for that this morning. Praise and worship binds the evil spirits with shackles and the leading spirits with iron chains. Praise and worship are mighty spiritual weapons against the wicked one. Number four, can we say number four? Come on, everybody, number four. prayer, come on, prayer is a false mighty weapon against evil spirits. The Bible declares that he who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus Christ urges us to pray that God's will be done. Jesus said to ask and it shall be given unto you. James said in James 5 verse 16, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. When trouble comes, we tend to run around madly fretting, trying to resolve our own problems. Instead of doing that, a better way is to cover our troubles of life with a continual blanket of earnest prayer. Because believing prayer produces wonderful results. We got the blood of Jesus. What was the next one? Word of God was the next one. And what was the one we just discussed then? Prayer. Number five, the fifth mighty weapon that God has given us is the name of Jesus. Luke 10:17 says, the 72, that's talking about disciples, returned with joy saying, Lord, even the demons, and that's what we're talking about this morning, those winds, even the demons are subject to us in your name. The name of Philippians 2 verses 9 to 11 says, therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. So at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is to the glory of God the Father. The name of Jesus is above all spiritual authority. Therefore, as a believer and follower of Jesus Christ, I urge you, use the name of Jesus to cast out the enemy from your home. Who remembers that scene in that movie, War Room? Where that woman was praying over her husband and her family, and you see her just marching through her house. She even went out the back door, and in the name of Jesus, she cast the devils out of her home. This is what we're talking about. There's power in the name of Jesus. Go to war against those buffeting winds. Why put up with it any longer? In the name of Jesus, speak out the promises of God over yourself and your family and command the enemy to go in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Thank God for the mighty name of Jesus. Now, I just want to introduce the final, and there's other weapons, I get that. But right now, I want to introduce another mighty weapon that God has given to us. And this weapon is so severely misunderstood, and it is terribly neglected. It's a weapon that many have put away in their closet and forgotten about. But it's time to reacquaint ourselves with this mighty weapon. And I'm talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about the wonderful gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm even talking about speaking in tongues. God has given to his people, you and me, the privilege of being drenched in his Holy Spirit after we became Christians. And the same Holy Spirit that came like a dove upon Jesus Christ is still ready to fall in power upon you, upon me, this year, today. And how we need a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know what really bothers me? I just don't want to have a tangent because time is just about gone, but sometimes what can happen, I hope nobody misunderstands what I'm going to say, but sometimes what can happen, you can just be worshiping God out of your soul and enjoy a soulish experience. Like, I love the tunes. I'll give you an example of what I mean. Sometimes you can be enjoying the tune of a song. You know, like we sang this morning, I love those anthems and they were great. I love those songs, I believe. But sometimes you only go so far. I'm enjoying the tune. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling warm and fuzzy. But the anointing of the Holy Spirit's deeper than that. And sometimes what happens is we taste the soul realm so much that we've forgotten what the taste of the Holy Spirit is all about. And we satisfy ourselves with this when God has got something better. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. I was at the football yesterday with the Dockers. And I'm telling you, they were all having a great soulish experience when the Dockers amazingly won the game. I'm telling you, they were. They were happy. That's a soul experience. I'm not talking about soul. You could come to church and have a soul experience. But what God wants you to have is have an encounter with him. That doesn't matter what the tune is. It doesn't matter whether somebody said something nice on the platform. You've touched God. Acts 10:38 says, and you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And then Jesus went around doing good because of that. And he went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. We're speaking about spiritual warfare today. For God was with Jesus. Jesus Christ provides us with an example of reliance upon the Holy Spirit. Jesus completely relied on the power of the Holy Spirit to heal, to do miracles, and to set the oppressed person free. And just before Jesus ascended into heaven, Jesus promised, but you, the real life church, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Then in Acts chapter 2, we read about the first outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the Jewish day of Pentecost. It was incredible, but it resulted in over 3,000 people becoming born again. How we need the power of the Holy Spirit. And when you read through the book of Acts, I'm nearly finished, everybody, but when you read through the book of Acts, you soon see how the Christians made a real big deal about the Holy Spirit. It was just presumed that every believer would want to be filled with God, the Holy Spirit. And consequently, the supernatural was very much a part of the believer's life. Miracles happened. The Holy Spirit directed people, and devils were cast out of people. And there was a holy fear of Almighty God. Instead of the devil and the demons buffeting people, it seems like the early Christians in the book of Acts took it upon themselves to go and buffet the devil. They gave the devil a real headache. I would like to give the devil a real headache too. I want the devil to panic every time I get up in the morning. What about you? The same power and person that was in Jesus Christ was alive in his people. And the book of Acts is not written for our entertainment. It's written to inspire us and to teach us and to make us hungry for more of the Holy Spirit. And today at Real Life Church, we could all do with a fresh anointing and a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. We all could do with seeing more of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We could all do with unleashing the gift of speaking in tongues in our prayer time. And that's what we're going to be praying about tonight at our encounter service. The weapons of God are mighty. The blood of Jesus, the Bible, prayer, praise and worship, the name of Jesus and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Have you gone with your weapons check this morning? Old Elisha, the prophet, had a young employee working for him. One day an enemy army came and surrounded their small town in order to capture Elisha. Elisha was so relaxed about the whole situation, not even worried. But the young man was just panicking and beside himself. He was fretting and he cried out to Elisha, "Oh, sir, what can we do now?" And then Elisha responded and said, "Don't be afraid, for there are more on our side than on theirs." Then Elisha prayed, "Oh God, oh Lord, open his eyes and let him see." And wham, he could see into the spirit realm. And he was shocked at what he could see. The Lord opened his eyes so he could see the hills around him. And the Bible says that the hillside around Elisha and this young man were filled with horses and chariots of fire. The young man saw the mighty angels of God, and they were just everywhere. And Real Life Church, right now, if wham, you could see to the realm of the spirit, you would see angels all up here this morning with me on the platform. Big angels all around, walking around our service all the time. Folks, I want to finish with this thought. There are more on our side than on the devil's side. The angels of the Lord surround those who fear God, and those same mighty angels are getting ready for you to start using your weapons. And when you use your divine weapons, the angels will join you in battle, and those buffeting spirits don't even stand a chance. And that's all I've got to say today. Amen. Come on, let's stand our feet. And we're going to employ some of those weapons right now. Let's stand our feet. I know that God has been speaking to people today. And we don't have a lot of time. I get that. I know about the kids' ministry finishing up in a moment. I get all of that. But let's just have a sacred moment. Come on, everybody. Let's focus. You've sat really well. But let's focus on having a sacred moment before God. And if God has spoken to you today, you are just being buffeted from pillar to post. The pressure's been on. It's been one thing after another for you. Why don't you come forward in the name of Jesus, and we're going to do some spiritual warfare this morning. If that's you, just come forward straight away. Don't hold back. You come forward in Jesus' name.